Chapter 2. 10 minutes or so later, he was looking much more like the immaculate young man who had driven himself to a fashionable London church to take part in a wedding rehearsal much earlier that afternoon. There was a few spots of blood on his elegant light grey suit, which would probably never be entirely removed, and his old Etonian tie was also slightly soiled. But Rose had found a box of adhesive plaster, and the cut above his eye was neatly dealt with. Although she tried to impress upon him the need to see a doctor as soon as possible, for the cut was deep and might need a stitch or two. Also, he was plainly badly shaken, and although he joked almost gaily while she put away her Good Samaritan implements, he was still a little white under his tan, and he admitted he could do with a good stiff brandy. "But one could hardly expect old Mancroft to maintain a supply here," he said. "As I remember him, he's not a very bibulous type." Rose studied him gravely with large, clear, greenish-brown eyes. "It's some time since you saw Mr. Mancroft," she suggested. "Quite a time," he admitted. "He handles my affairs, but I'm afraid I've got into the habit of leaving him to cope with them. One does, you know, vaguely." He straightened his tie in front of the mirror. "And old Mancroft, such a dependable type. I used to be very fond of him." "Used?" she inquired, on a faint note of surprise. And he turned and regarded her with a slightly quizzical twist to one side of his mouth. "Young lady," he told her, "and you seem very young. Although your ministrations were most capable, as you grow older, you will no doubt make the discovery, as I did myself when I was barely 25, that with advancing years, one outgrows a capacity for fondness. The purely spontaneous, unquestioning fondness of youth." He looked sober and slightly haggard. "By the time you're 35, you may have made the shocking discovery that you're incapable of any sort of fondness at all, for anything or anyone." "Oh no," she said, with such conviction in her words that a rather harsh gleam of cynicism appeared in his eyes. "I don't think so. In fact, I'm sure I won't." "But then you're only a very little girl, aren't you? 19 or 20? 20, she said. "And you work here, don't you?" Looking about him for the first time as he realised it was an outer office in which they stood. "You work here and presumably you..."